All right, we're 1 minute past. I think we'll begin. I do expect a few more to come in, but we're going to get started. We've got a lot to talk about. Certainly, a lot of interest in today's Zoom roundtable. Welcome, everyone. Thank you very much for attending. I know it's hard to take time out of your busy schedules, and more importantly, the thought of another Zoom call is probably enough to make anyone crazed at this point, but I appreciate your attendance and look forward to a good discussion. We welcome all current KISSA members, ski areas, and suppliers. We should have, I'm anticipating three suppliers on the call today, so that should be exciting. a couple things to remember as we navigate these COVID waters. You know, I have the opportunity to speak to a lot of our members over the course of a given week, certainly a lot of suppliers. The conversations to me are fascinating. There's so many great ideas out there under such a crazy world of indecision. So it's been super interesting to talk to people. And I encourage any of you with any thoughts or comments, you know, as we go forward through the summer and fall, by all means, reach out to me because I always have time to talk, and I think it's, you know, sharing ideas is great. We've got a panel of four today. I'll introduce them in a moment. The format of our call is kind of a panelist discussion. So I've got a couple questions for our panelists. Then we're going to go into discussion. There is a chat button there, but I also think we're small enough that we can recognize people who have a question or want to speak. So by all means, participate as much as you'd like or as little, that will be fine. Just for keeping it clean, keep your mic muted unless you are speaking. That way it keeps out the background music or noise. We do have that chat function, so feel free to use that. If I miss something, then jump up and down because sometimes I get a little distracted here. A couple things to keep in mind. This is a fluid situation, COVID-19. Things are changing rapidly and constantly. So what we say today and what we've said in the past may be outdated in a few days, may not also. So this is constantly evolving, and we will hopefully keep up with that. Also think that this COVID environment has given us all an opportunity to really think through operationally what we are doing, marketing wise what we are doing. There, you know, as with any disaster like this comes many opportunities. They may be hard to see at first, but do keep that in mind. I do feel that we have the ability now to really recreate a lot of what we've offered in cross-country skiing, and that can be a great opportunity. Hence, we're starting these calls we started them a month ago or so, but we wanted to start the conversation early, even though we knew we didn't have all the answers, because we feel it's super important to be prepared for what is coming. Also wanted to keep in mind that as we look at this, and my whole thought process is not looking at how we can operate at 50 or 75%, but how can we operate at 100 to 130% this coming year? All indications that I've seen and through many conversations with many of you, we do feel that cross country has the opportunity to see a significant increase in attendance at our ski areas. And not only do we need to be prepared for status quo, but we need to be prepared for a significant increase. And so everything that we talk about, keep that in mind. It's like, how will you accommodate that? Knowing that much of last year, you may have been at capacity for operationally what you could do. It's like, how do we change to take advantage of this situation? Our topic today is rental operations under the COVID-19 umbrella. We've had a lot of interest in this topic, so I'm very excited. And with that, I'd like to introduce our panelists for today. We have Nick Mahood, Nordic Director of the Woodstock Nordic Center, Richard Hodges, Nordic Director from White Pine in Utah, Brittany Perkins, Programs Manager, Crested Butte Nordic Center in Colorado, and then Robert Lazzaroni, who is the Solomon Nordic Director. I want to start, I've got three questions for three of the three ski area panelists. And I want to go through those three questions independently and then go back and start to expand a bit. And the first question, Nick, I'll go to you, Nick from Woodstock. I want to start by getting an understanding of what percentage of your day ticket sales also rent equipment. And Nick, were you able to come up with just a rough number there?
Yeah, I had to go do a little thinking on that and try to pull some numbers up, Reese, because it's not readily available just because we don't keep track of, you know, who buys a day ticket to go skiing versus who buys a day ticket and rents. But I'm thinking it's roughly about 40% across the board for the year. That number changes, you know, on a holiday week or on a busy weekend. Potentially that's going to be a little bit higher. But on average across the year, across the season, I think it's about 40%.
Okay, awesome. And Richard, for you at White Pine, your rough number you told me was quite a bit different.
Yeah, just in thinking and having the same problem, I'm thinking we're probably between 80 and 90% day tickets, also include a rental package. We have a very large tourist market, especially during holidays, or basically all winter, which is a holiday now. And so we've got a very high percentage of people that are buying day tickets and renting equipment. generally, people that are kind of multiple users over the year are buying punch passes or, you know, 3 or 4 day tickets a year. But we try to push them to season passes, too. But I think that there's a definite strong connection between the rental and the day ticket sales.
Right. Okay. And then Brittany, I did tell you that this question was coming. So were you able to come up with the number?
I was. Yeah. Ours is also about 40% of day ticket purchasers who also get rentals.
Okay, great. And I asked that question just because I think there will be some similarities between what we discuss here and what we discuss last week for ticket sales. Nick, I'm going to go back to you and just start to ask this question. One of the choke points in cross-country skiing or the cross-country skier is the rental department. Can you share your limitations from this past year and some of those issues that you had that need resolving for this year? Nick? You're muted.
I think that... I mean, we have a very small space, both the main retail shop and the rental shop, and you have to go through the retail shop to get into the rental shop. So, I mean, I think our biggest issue is going to be managing that space and probably rethinking that space. You know, we have a large building that the Nordic Center is only in a small portion of. So I think using that building better by taking advantage of the rest of the space, and then also potentially spreading out into other areas of the resort. There's no reason, for example, like we can't sell more day tickets at the front desk. We just opened up a new outdoor activity center concierge on the inn proper. The Nordic Center is separate from that. So we have an opportunity there to do rentals and tickets out of that space as well. So I think just spreading out and kind of rethinking where our rentals come out of is going to be helpful.
So your concern was just the amount of space you have, and that it is, as you said, you have to go through the retail section to get to the rentals. Richard, without just looking at your issues currently and not looking at what your solution is for that, talk to me about the choke, you know, that choke point at White Pine.
Yeah, I think our biggest challenge is going to be physical space. Kind of the rental desk is kind of off in the corner, surrounded by some benches, and it's not unusual to have in the past, I guess, you know, 15 people sitting around, standing around, getting equipment from the one or two people at the rental desk, and, you know, trying on boots and making sure everything fits. And so space is going to be a big issue. I think that's going to be the kicker for us. And also kind of in the back office, I'm looking at some stuff about ventilation and air filtering to help. I mean, it's down the road, but there's a very limited back room, a very limited desk, very limited space in the Nordic Center. It might require some moving of things around.
Right. And Brittany, going to you in Crested Butte, I know your space is shared with, I think you're in a hockey rink or shared with hockey players.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What are some of your limitations there?
Space also. But we also have a pretty clunky like inventory system for our rentals currently that we're looking to improve on. Just to make everything more efficient, I guess.
Okay, terrific. And then the third part of this question is your thoughts on changes to your rental operations in this new environment. And Nick, you started going down that road. Can you elaborate on that again, what some of your thoughts are for changes right now?
I mean, I think the biggest issue, like I said, is just going to be spreading out operations so that perhaps we can service guests in multiple locations rather than just trying to have the rentals go through one small space. I mean, if there's any distancing requirements still in place this winter, there's no way that the space that we currently operate out of will work at all. I mean, as we're in the same boat as what Richard was saying, I mean, it's not unusual on a busy day to have 20 to 30 people in a very, very small space. So I think we just need to spread them out as best we can throughout the building we're currently in, as well as look at other locations across the resort.
Right, right. Richard, your thoughts on solutions for next year?
Well, there are kind of two sides. One is the back office side of improving how we sanitize, the means of sanitizing things and making an employee environment safe. And that's going to be masks and gloves and, you know, physical distancing of employees and things like that. Because if I can't make the work environment safe, it's going to be really difficult to have anybody at the rental counter. The second part in managing the space, you know, I'm looking at, you know, managing people at the door, putting, you know, an outdoor drop-off and pickup rack for people. I still haven't figured out how to make the boot fitting work and also the how to use the equipment work. You know, we all think, hey, it's just a step-in binding, no problem. But for somebody that's never skied before, they're going to need some instruction, ideally not hands-on instruction, on how to operate, you know, how to step into the binding and how to release the binding. And all that takes space and people. And, you know, I'm looking at how to maybe rearrange some of the retail space to allow a socially distant queue for the rental counter. We're looking at, you know, pushing as much of the contact with customers onto their own phones. You know, forms and waivers and passes are all, they're all touch points and they're all points of congestion in the operation. You know, it'd be nice to have another door.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Or another yurt.
Right. Brittany, you guys in Crested Butte have kind of a unique system. You're one of the few that I've spoken to that have really been delving into the equipment management piece of this. What I know I've spoken a bit to you guys about what your plans are for this year, but can you share with the rest kind of how your management how you intend to manage that equipment and where you see that benefiting your operation?
Yeah, sure. So this spring we just on the fly came up with a curbside pickup rental system. And the biggest challenge we had with that was managing the inventory of it. You know, we were just like manually counting what we could see in the shop. So we're thinking of working with this platform called Giro. and they can manage our inventory, and people can reserve rentals in advance. So we're going to encourage people to reserve in advance, and then we'll put rentals outside as much as we can, like a curbside pickup situation. And for people who come in to reserve rentals, they'll use the same system, and that can be done on a phone or an iPad. So people don't have to congregate around our counter. Where another big change we're looking at is multiple rental times per day, because we see a lot of people just come and rent for an hour, but we've only had full day rentals previously. So we're looking at two blocks, 8 to 11 and noon to 3, that people can rent in at a discounted price. And that way we can turn everything over faster, clean it up in that hour in between, and then have everything back for our after school programming, assuming we're allowed to do that.
Awesome. I want to bring Robert in from Solomon. I know, Robert, you and I spoke a few days ago, and you mentioned when we look at like boot fitting, which seems to be one of the big issues. One of the other questions that we're going to get to is going to be equipment turns and sterilization or just disinfecting of that equipment. From from one of the boot suppliers, what have you seen that would be important to our rental operations at this point, if anything?
I think listening at what the other people just say here is that what can we do from our side to make the customers know their size before they rent? We did a couple of video how-to, but they were not very entry-level, but nothing really linked to the shoe size or how to operate the binding. So that's maybe something I will do now in the next couple of months, that the people, I don't know, through an app or through a YouTube video or whatever. So give your customers a very clear idea of the size they need and then how to operate the binding. So this is what I see now on my to-do list in a very near future before the winter on how we can help.
Could that be as simple as creating a downloadable, piece of paper basically that they then step on? I'm just thinking a very simple Brannock device. Would something like that
could be, or even without downloading on printing, just measure your foot and okay, if you are 29 centimeter, that would be whatever size in the US. Mm-hmm. So again, we will not hit 100% success there, but at least we can get pretty close. So then it will be the exception of the people who have the wrong sizing instead of the norm at the moment.
Right. Let's before we get really into the solutions of reorganizing your rental department, let's look at a couple of the other issues that we have. One is rental turns, equipment turns and reusing a piece of equipment again in this new environment. And I know Nate, you at Great Glen, that was a big concern when you started renting bikes, and that first weekend you didn't rent a bike a second time, I believe, and then you came up with a cleaning process, and now I believe you're renting bikes, within, you're able to turn a bike within five or 15 minutes. Is that correct?
Yeah, most of that's correct. I think the bikes we were doing after we sprayed them down, it's the helmets that we weren't.
And have you changed anything there?
No. Forget about Corona. Who wants a sweaty helmet on their head anyways? I don't have a quick fix for that one. So we've just got enough helmets that we can outlast our day.
So we did discuss the sweaty boot, and yes, it is absolutely disgusting, but historically many of you have rented wet boots before because that's what you had. And again, I go back to any of our suppliers that are on, and I think I've asked most of you if you have any recommendations, of which I believe everyone has said you don't, because you're not sure that that's where you want to go. But the CDC does have a lot of disinfectants listed on their website, and in the notes of this call, I will put the link to that. But people are already renting wet boots as it is. Will it be, I'll put this to the panel to Brittany or Nick or Richard, will it be any different under COVID renting a wet boot? It will still be disgusting, I'm quite sure.
I think, it's, I worry about it happening. There are only a few kind of days a year where we're completely out of things. And in fact, we reordered some of our more popular sizes to beef up the fleet last spring, because there were some, you know, clearly some sizes, size 37, that we just needed more of. And so I'm hoping that we're not going to run into it. I think with the disinfectant that we're using, I mean, the boot may be wet, but it will smell of disinfectant and it will be as sanitary as we can possibly make it. On the chat, there was a thing about kids programs, and that just gave me just a headache when we have, you know, 50 kids coming in at the same time and trying to figure out how we're going to manage that. And with sizing and equipment and everything else, the first few times that the groups meet is a free-for-all. And we may have to set up special procedures for those programs. But, you know, I think we're going to do the best we can. I think if the employees feel that they are safe, that will translate into their interactions with the customers. And we'll do the best we can. I don't know if we're going to have please sign your COVID waiver that you're not going to sue us kind of thing added to the waiver, but we may have to.
Okay. Nick, any thoughts on that rental of wet boots?
I think the same, like it's a rare occasion that that we have to send a pair of boots out, you know, wet. When they come in, they go right in front of the dryer and the fan, and you know, usually they're good and able to be dry and rented by the afternoon. So I'm not overly concerned that that's going to be any different. The only thing I would add to that is, like, we're currently renting bikes and we have complimentary cruiser bikes that are going out to our guests. And I mean, the interaction with the guests, like to size the bike up for them, is no different than the interaction with a guest out on the snow to show them how to put the boots on. And I mean, I think it's going seamlessly right now, and there's no issues with it. Granted, it's, you know, you're 100% outside, but the interaction with the guest individually, I don't see as being a problem. Again, it's just the sheer volume and managing that volume.
Right. Okay. Brittany, any additional thoughts there on wet boots?
No, I'm kind of along the same lines. It's only a couple weeks a year that we are wiped out, and we do have boot dryers. I think it would be a rare occasion for us. And if, like Richard said, if they were wet, they would be clean. So I don't know.
Yeah, they're still gross, but that's it's okay. Let's look at someone here. I think, I can't remember who now, brought up the rental by the hour per se, or 2 hours. I know Mike Hussey's on the call, and Mike, you have a unique day ticket pricing structure up there at Reichert, do you not? Oh, he's figuring out to unmute. There you go.
I mean, I don't know if it's unique or not, but we just have one price. We don't do a half day ticket because we figure that, you know, the average skier experience is 1 to 2 hours. And if you come in at, 9 o'clock in the morning and you ski 2 hours at 9 o'clock in the morning, that's great. If you come in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and ski 2 hours, it's the same experience. So we don't differentiate. And I guess where you're going with that, Reese, is that, you know, that sets up, you know, fairly nicely for, you know, if we, let's say we could adapt the golf course's tee time scenario where we could be signing up for tee times during the day, so to speak. And that's your skiing slot for the day. I don't know, just a out of the box thought, but, you know, one way to manage crowds.
We're gonna get to that. Christy, you mentioned giving a discount for, Brittany, giving a discount for those people that were only renting for an hour or two because that's what they did normally. And I would say, if that's what they're going to do anyway and they're comfortable paying whatever your pricing is, why would you give them a discount? Why, you know, it's like you're leaving money on the table, I would say.
Sure, yeah. So our thinking is that right now people will rent equipment for the full day. They have it until 5 or whatever, and they use it for 1 or 2 hours during the day, but we never see it again. But if they have to bring it back by 11, we can rent that equipment out again.
So you're incenting them to bring it back early, so to speak.
So that we can make twice as much on that pair of skis.
Right. And you see your rental, I don't know if you touched on this or if I touched on it, but you see your rental management system actually increasing your number of rentals per day because you don't have room to bring in more rentals. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah.
So you see it as a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. So that's an innovative thing. How about staffing? If we do see this increase in activity at our cross-country center with respect to rentals, does that do anything to your existing level of staffing at this point? So Nick or Richard?
Yeah, I'll throw it out there. Yes. In the spring, when we moved some of our rental operations outside and the weather cooperated, you know, it's an extra person to help manage basically kind of a second rental desk. I'm looking at probably needing, over the course of the week, 3 more rental desk people or some sort of rotation for employees to work the rental desk. Typically, we have 4 people in the shop and 1 in the doing service in the yurt. I'm going to have to up it because people are going to need more space, more distance. And if we're moving the drop off and pick up outside, somebody's got to be there to help, you know, with customer questions. I think in our pricing, that's covered okay, based on volume, but we do have a fair number of people that rent equipment and then go offsite to some of the other community trails. Our pricing kind of reflects that fact that the ski is going to be gone all day. But now you're giving me, I may have to tweak that a little bit if I've got to bring extra people on. The other side of that is also figuring out, since we don't own the building, how to improve the ventilation system in the ski storage area to make sure things get dry at a minimum overnight.
Okay. We will be having one of these calls strictly on staffing in the future, looking at the various different departments and what the staffing needs. What the staffing needs will be as we implement some of these options. Let's move now to solutions. And that first question I asked, what percentage of your day ticket sales go to people that are already renting? And we looked at on the call last week or 2 weeks ago, day ticket sales and who is that group that's coming in. So there's an opportunity for, you know, you already know that X percentage of your people are going to buy a trail pass and also rent. Is anyone selling a trail pass and rental at the same counter? Can you do that together, or do you go to a main counter, buy whatever you're going to buy, and then if you get a trail pass, you get it there, but then you have to take your sheet and go to rental. So it's kind of a two-stop program. Is there an opportunity? I'm assuming that's what most people do. Is there an opportunity to make it a one-stop? If you're buying a trail pass, this is your area. If you are trail pass and rentals, you go directly here. Because I imagine few, if anybody, with a season pass is just going to come in and rent. So, Richard, do you do anything like that? Could you break those two up to separate people?
We're pretty traditional that way. You come to the desk, you fill out your form, you pay your money, and carry the paper over to the rental desk. That is, most of that is going to have to go away in terms of touch points and contacts with people. And it's going. It's taking some work. I've been talking to some of the employees, trying to figure out better processes. We're going to try to push, waivers, release forms, purchases online, on the phone, try to get rid of some of that paper, get rid of all those pens. And if we can just have somebody show an electronic receipt to the rental desk, then we're good to go. There's some integration stuff we need to work through, make sure that we're not adding yet another system that doesn't talk to the other five systems to the mix, because that's hard. It's epically hard and gets expensive. We're trying to go through kind of an exercise of kind of walking through the process of all the touch points with the customers and employee interactions, and how can we make them, this should be more efficient. This should actually work better by doing it cleaner. But that's kind of the step we're at right now, is walking through everything and finding the steps where we can make it better.
Okay. Nate, you mentioned in the notes that you have one stop for rental and tickets. What does that mean?
Just what you were talking about. If we, we have a rental counter where we can sell tickets at.
Isn't that what you were mentioning? And then you have a different counter where they can just buy a trail pass, or there's an opportunity to buy a trail pass in a different location.
True. You can buy it all anywhere. But what you were talking about is exactly how we've had it. But we've got more space than most Nordic centers, so we're happy about that.
Right. Richard touched on going more online, et cetera. One of the comments on the call from ticket sales was that many of the cross-country centers need to have their guests in their inside their building, because that's where their retail shop is, and that promotes those add-on retail sales of hats, gloves, etc., which is incredibly important to many of the revenue streams of our ski areas. And one thing I think we should think about is the goal is to go, is to make this system as seamless, whatever system you use, as possible. The downside of it is, if it's so seamless and so non-touch, you lose that relationship with your customer, and you lose the ability to create those add-on sales by having them inside. I think one of the key points is probably going to be spacing them out and allowing them to come inside, but not stay inside forever. And I liken what's happening in some of the other areas of our lives, like the supermarkets and some of the other places where you do go inside and you do stand at a counter. And I think, again, to make sure that we don't cannibalize our other revenue streams, that I think we should keep that in mind. Looking at the different rental options, is there an opportunity for I think we touched on this with the trail pass people, the guys that come in to buy five trail passes a year. Can you move that person to a season pass? And likewise, that person that rents several times a year, is there an opportunity to either do a season rental, which takes it out of your inventory, which may not work, or move that person into an owner? And I'll throw that at Nick. And then I'll throw it at Alan.
Yeah, I think, if we're going to ever convert people to cross-country skiing, this seems like this could potentially be the year. Given what's happened in the bicycle industry, the number of new bicycle owners is, I think, exponentially increased over previous years. And the biggest growth I was just reading is in the beginner entry level category in cycling. So I think that could really bode well with some good messaging and targeting the right audience there to increase our numbers and actually see something positive come out of this. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're trying to think of ways, all right, how can we get more season pass holders? How can we get more people to purchase equipment? Because obviously that makes this whole process a lot easier if they have their own gear and their own pass and they just go and ski.
So I'm going to go to Robert from Solomon now and ask that question. So our industry is anticipating, obviously, an increase in skier participation. We're looking at the possibility of potentially shifting people from a renting capacity to an ownership capacity. I know several of our ski areas do, you know, if a person comes in and rents equipment and comes back and says, my God, that was amazing, I had so much fun, there's an opportunity for them to buy that equipment right then, or at least to put their name on it and buy it so that they can continue to rent it for the year, and then after a given date they can take it home with them. What can our ski areas and our retail operations and rental operations expect from the suppliers this winter in terms of the ability to reorder mid-season or at some point? I know that's a kind of a loaded question, and Steve Reeder is on and Jason from Alpina and Fisher. So if you guys can comment also afterwards if you've got anything.
That's a tricky one, because first, we don't all have the same fiscal year. So Salomon, Amersport, we end of December. And we are judged by our inventory in end of December. Some other company have the fiscal year in April. So that's the first one. The second one, for all of us, the suppliers, European winter this past year has been terrible. No snow in Central Europe, no snow in Scandinavia, no snow in Russia. US, Canada, we hold it pretty well. So at the company level, there is a tendency at the moment to limit the risk. We, the US people, and I think I speak for all of the other brands, we want to take more risk because we see the potential. So it's a good fight to have at the moment with the headquarters in Europe. So if I speak on Salomon in particular, I did win a small battle. We will have inventory to have a very good year. Not fantastic. If, like you say, we get an increase of 30, 40, 50% in a newcomer to the sport, we will be out of skis and boots. That's for sure. If we see an increase of 10, 20, 25%, we will be able to fulfill.
Right. Right. So something to keep in mind, if the ability to purchase becomes challenging, that could also impact our rentals at ski areas. Let's move on in our solution. So we talked a little bit about moving people from rentals to owners, separating our rental counter so that you can complete the entire transaction at the rental counter and not need to stop first at the main counter to purchase it and then go somewhere else. So I'm kind of thinking now capacity. We talked about reallocation of existing space. Like in Crested Butte for Brittany, that doesn't work because they have no additional space. But I know Nick alluded to additional space that that the Woodstock Cross Country Center, Woodstock Nordic, has. I know Mike has additional space up there at Reichert that can be repurposed. We talked about for trail passes another option of creating a like an ice cream window to buy your trail pass. I know when I was speaking with Mike earlier this week, he also mentioned repurposing a timing building, a movable timing building, when there's no racing, to put that in parking lot and sell day passes and possibly even a couple items from the retail shop. I don't know if we have that for rentals, but the utilization of the space better is certainly a big one. What about reservations? Someone mentioned the golf world. I know I've spoken to many golf courses that are also cross-country centers. I know we have a few on the phone or on the call here today. Some of them have expressed to me that their rounds are up, you know, several hundred percent this year, and that they are able to book those times that generally nobody wanted in the past. Brittany, this kind of speaks to what you're thinking about, is kind of guiding that that guest into a time slot. I know we spoke a little bit about this. What are your thoughts there? And is that an issue? Is that a possibility? Do you see customer pushback there? You know, what are your thoughts on that one?
Well, this spring when we were operating through quarantine, granted it was people that live here, but and no visitors, but we gave everyone a pickup time and everyone was fine with that and adhered to it. And I think people were just happy to ski, and things might be different this winter, but I think it's definitely a possibility to give people a time slot. And I don't know. I think it's worth trying.
Right. Has anyone else on the call thought of that at this point? I mean, we know that those peak times, even in a non-COVID year, I think all of you would love to move some of those people to, you know, off that peak time. One of the opportunities that I think is presenting itself this year is the fact that people are not going to offices like they used to. Their work week now is structured differently. With many of the companies that I've spoken to and people that work for them are saying that their employer is not mandating that they come back to work anytime in the near future. Many of them are looking for smaller office space. And I wonder if there's an opportunity to shift that Saturday morning business to a Tuesday morning or a Sunday afternoon or something else. I live in a resort town, as many of you are. Our town has been very busy right now. We've been busy since March 15th with out-of-state people that have moved up then and never left. I know I've spoken to people who have said if their kids are not in school this year, they're going to start their winter rental early or come up to their second home early and commute back to school when needed, but base out of here. Is that an opportunity and that any of you see? I don't know, Ellen, I'm going to throw that one at you to start. You're muted.
Yeah. I would like to think that would work, but I also listen to our New Hampshire, Ski New Hampshire calls, which is mostly alpine areas, and a lot of them are summer attractions. And some of those operators are reporting that people are remarkably resistant to the, they just think they can show up. And that's, it's still a big issue for the tourism industry in the state, is to training people that they need to adhere to reservations, specifically places like the Flume. And I think Franconia Notch State Park is facing some of the hardest parts that way. So I think the Nordic skiers, I mean, I think our skiers, our core is more trainable. But I don't think you can get away from the weekend. The weekend's going to be the weekend. So, I mean, I'm learning a lot now just thinking that, maybe, especially for the skiers who need rentals, that having a reservation system for the rental buyer, that 40%, I think that number is a legitimate number. And if we can channel that 40% into time slots, like, oh, your reservation is for 10:15, maybe that's going to help. But I don't think we're going to get rid of the rush entirely.
No, but can it be controlled? Nick, any thoughts on that for you? I know you've had that issue where you'll have, a pretty light Tuesday, but your Saturday mornings are all hands on deck.
Yeah, I mean, I could see potentially doing an AM rental slot and a PM rental slot and a full day. So you might have, you know, essentially a half day rental price and a full day rental price. Because we do have people that like to have the gear all day and go ski in the morning and have lunch and then go back. I wouldn't take that away. As far as like just thinking about costing that out though, like I wouldn't want to shoot myself in the foot rental wise and have all the people that come in on Tuesday morning only purchase a half day rental because I think then ultimately we might end up losing money, if that makes sense.
Is there an opportunity for you
something that we'll have to...
Well, to Mike Hussey's point, is there an opportunity for you to keep your rental prices the same and just say this is your two-hour window? If you want it all day, it's going to be, you know, that plus.
More.
Because, I think
that, yeah,
it's an opportunity to do things a little differently than we have in the past. And that way, I mean, I've seen it, and I think everyone has. Their rentals just sitting on the rack in front of the lodge for hours because they're upstairs having a beer, and eventually they're going to get, they're probably not going to ski again, and they're just going to come back and return them. So again, thinking out of the box, is there an opportunity, depending upon what happens in food service, to do that 2-hour rental in the morning plus lunch? And so here's your package price. You know, you can add lunch to it. So they come in, they ski. Now there's the time to get it back because they have a lunch reservation. And likewise for that afternoon, come for lunch and then your skis will be ready. Again, a way to offer a slightly different package where you could upcharge them and, you know, collect those dollars in advance. Nate, what do you think about, Ellen, do you have something else to say?
Well, I'm saying, I mean, I might go think of going the other way and be like, 3 days and you have them pick them up Friday night and then get that group out of our lodge for the weekend.
But you have no ability to turn that.
Charge them for the weekend.
Charge them. Yep.
I mean, we don't do too many flips. But I mean, I know we do because I reach into the wet boots every now and then, but yeah.
So Sarah from Bethel Village commented that they are doing reservations for their fat bike rentals. Sarah, if you can you speak and tell us how that goes and if there's any pushback from your guest?
Yeah, sure. Actually, people have been surprisingly really great about the bike rental situation. We only have 10 bikes to rent that we get from our local shop. And so people reserve them ahead of time. If they come in on the day of, it's if they're available, they're available. But otherwise, for the most part, I would say that they're gone pretty quickly. And people, unless they get lost or really tired, will show up when they're supposed to return them. That may be a little bit trickier with skis, I think, or snowshoes. I think we have more people get lost on the ski and snowshoe trails than we do on the bike trails.
Right. So going back to this reservation system and a couple solutions for what that would look like, is anyone considering, aside from Brittany and Crested Butte, anyone else considering a reservation system at this point? Yep. Stowe, Lauren, anything? Are you guys considering that? You're muted.
Find that on mute. No, not probably doing a reservation or a more in-depth rental tracking.
I'm sorry, Nick, what?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Yeah, sorry. No, I don't think we're not looking at adding any kind of more in-depth rental tracking than what we're doing right now.
Okay, Lauren?
Yeah, we're doing some online biking stuff. It's fairly new, where people can do it online, rent the bikes, and we'll have the bikes ready. And we've been looking at it for skiing. We started it, actually, we were going to do a test run, and then this COVID thing started, so we weren't able to. But we're hoping to get that integrated with everything else and see how it goes.
So a reservation system is not being considered by too many of you. I see Ellen says, yes, you are considering it. Have you thought about, Ellen, what platform you would use?
I'm trying to figure out, learn more about Fair Harbor and switching us over entirely from Sirius. Just looking at, this is maybe the time when we break away from Sirius.
And do you do the rentals, or does your retail partner do the rentals?
We do the rentals. They do just retail and tune in.
Nate at Great Glen, any thoughts on reservations?
Yeah, it's worked well for biking, and one reason to encourage it, Reese, is if you've got a strong enough cancellation policy that you can stick by, you sort of weatherproof yourself. Like if I can get the reservation a week out, then maybe they won't change their mind and go to Ellen's place. so there's that. you know, you're committing to your flight at that point. So they can't change their mind on where they're going to go if you stick to the policy, which everybody's got an excuse why you should give them their money back. But I like reservations for that reason. You can plan your staff, you can plan your gear, and the customer can see how much is live available as well, how many sets or whatever. So right. They can feel the pressure.
Do you have a plan, Nate, what you would use for software for that? Or you guys have some proprietary software, is that correct?
No, it's the one that Ellen's talking about. She's been talking to me about it too. It's a company called Fair Harbor that specializes in more outdoor adventure booking, you know, for the actual lesson piece of it, but they can also manage your inventory.
And do you have a ballpark cost on that if you were to do those two pieces?
The guest eats a little bit of it, and people are kind of used to those booking fees.
Right.
And then the rest of it's less than the credit card fee you're probably paying right now to use your register.
Really? Interesting.
It's like Ski Reg, sort of.
Yeah, but there's a fee that you pay for that.
Yeah, I don't pay the people to do the work. They're just getting business from the other two very small percentages.
Brittany, I know you guys have looked at some pricing of some of those programs. Can you share just ballpark pricing that you've learned over the last couple of times?
Yeah, we have looked into Fair Harbor, and that is great. It just doesn't quite work for what we're looking for. But Giro, the one that we're thinking we'll go with, is like $1,500 a year for us.
Okay. And per reservation fee, any other transaction fees, or is it just that?
No, they have different ways of pricing right. It. They can do a per reservation fee or just a flat rate like they're doing for us.
Okay, so there's a couple more things I want to talk about before we end our call, but let's just, going back to the reservation systems, it sounds like not that many are really considering it, but options for that would be a simple take reservations over the phone, no credit card needed, or maybe a credit card needed, but a simple system that isn't going to cost an arm and a leg or isn't going to cost anything, but will be hard to manage. There are simple online systems, and I reference something like OpenTable for a restaurant. That's a pretty easy system for just booking a time slot, and certainly many, if not all, the golf courses use a variety of programs that appear to be relatively simple. Then there are these relatively sophisticated systems like Giro, like Fairhaven, like a few of the others that people can use with a variety of different costs. And then I guess the other option would be a custom-built software package that integrates with everything that you're doing. Richard, have you? I know you said you have one. What is it? Just briefly.
It's a proprietary system that was written with our point of sale software.
Yeah.
But we also use a couple of other systems. I mean, we provide year-round guiding, climbing, biking, bike lessons, bike rentals, fly fishing. You know, the whole gamut. And unfortunately, the reservation system doesn't really respond, doesn't integrate well with how we do things at the Nordic Center. It works great for bike tours, things like that, but for our lessons, for our group lessons and private lessons and occasional people that pay for and reserve gear online, we still end up having to do a great deal of manual kind of keep it in the logbook entry because, you know, we're getting hundreds of phone calls a day too for people that didn't bother to book 48 hours in advance. And there's some inventory issues with lessons that are unresolved, shall we say?
Yeah.
You know, we can open 10 slots for a group lesson and maybe we'll get four people reserve and pay online, and then 40 other people will call up the afternoon before or 10 minutes before. And right. Part of that flies also pushes the rental issue where I've got people showing up, you know, 3 minutes before the group lesson at 10 a.m.
all needing gear and passes and information and everything else, who didn't bother to look online as to whether they could do any of that.
Nick, I'm going to put you on the spot. You said you were not looking at a rental system. So what are you going to do? How are you going to, what are you going to do Saturday morning when you've got this stack of people clamoring to get out in the trail?
I don't necessarily see us needing to do anything different than we're currently doing, other than, like I said, spreading out the rental fleet into potentially 3 days. Because I think if we do that and we can message that we do have different locations, we're going to hopefully get the people to spread out amongst those locations. And then with lower numbers, it'll kind of be business as usual. And then if we do an AM and a PM rental slot on a Saturday, which I like, I think that will, you know, further ease that issue. Because again, like I said, I mean, we've got a lot of rentals and a lot of bikes going out right now, and there have been, I mean, it's not the same as a busy Saturday at the Nordic, but it's still, I haven't seen any problem.
Okay. Matt, how about you up at Pineland? Are you going to have a reservation system? And if not, how will you handle that flow?
Yeah, we hadn't considered a reservation system until this phone call. So it's an interesting idea. You know, we've broken our single station up into two different areas. So we've broken our rental system off from the way we used to do it. I think we can handle a lot more people, but still with a small shop, it's unsure how we're going to handle the amount of people that we get. So our reservation system might be a good way to go.
Anyone else who is not considering a reservation system, how will you handle that flow, keeping your guests, quote unquote, safe and your staff safe? Anyone?
Hey, Reese, can I add one more thing in?
Yeah.
I think the other key issue, and it's something we've actually tried to do before and we just didn't make happen this year, is have multiple point of sales so that you can buy, if you just need a day ticket or if you just want to buy a pair of gloves, that transaction can happen somewhere else. And I think that will take away a lot of the choice in the shop, in addition to spreading out where you can deal with your rentals.
But that will require additional staff to handle those other pieces.
Yes, on a Saturday, it would require additional staff. I think on a Wednesday, spreading out existing staff would probably be sufficient.
Right. Anyone else have a comment there? We're coming up on 3 o'clock East Coast, so I don't want to keep anyone too long. Any final comments from anyone on that?
Reese, I'll go.
Yeah.
Just as far as the reservation system, it definitely doesn't make anything faster at the desk. So what Nick is saying is probably going to work for him. It actually gets slower because there's at least what we're doing right now. Because not everybody made their reservation and you need to just track all your inventory in one spot. You can't have paper and electronic or it gets all wonky. So I just urge people to try something out before you get into December break and figure out this thing is just slowing our normal process down.
And okay. I'll back up Nate on that.
Yeah.
You know, that the exercise of kind of walking through the process and making sure that if you're buying something new that it integrates with what you're doing or you're willing to change your process to meet whatever the new thing is, I think this is kind of the time of the year to be doing that. Because like Nate said, if you wait until December, you're done and you're going to fall back to paper and pencil and prayer to try to get through the holidays.
I will also caution you that if any modifications that you're planning on making, you should be working on now because supplies and delivery of some of the plexiglass and things are becoming slower than normal, according to some of the Alpine guys. And also, I don't think we're going to have to wait until holiday week to see a significant increase. I think they're coming as soon as you open your doors. So another thing is, don't think that you're going to have a couple weekends to work out the bugs, because you could be mobbed from day one. Excuse me. Okay, I'm not sure, and we're going to wrap this up. I don't think we came up with any great solutions for rentals, but at least we started that conversation. I think we will definitely revisit rentals and ticket sales maybe together at a later call, as I hear back from many of you and others about systems that you're finding, solutions that you're thinking about. There will be notes for this call, much like last week, pretty much bullet points. I will have some resources for sanitizing in there and a few others. There's also a pretty cool boot fitting sneeze guard that Keen created that I noticed, so I'll pass that along. I also think some of the suppliers may have some ideas along that, just coming from their Alpine side. So I think that's it. We're going to reconvene in 2 weeks at this time for our next call. Our the KISSA COVID Task Force meets on Monday, and we will identify the topic. But a couple that are still out there are staffing, messaging, retail, and then eventually we'll get to food and beverage. But I think we're going to wait and see how that category works out on its own naturally. So anyway, thank you to our panelists, and thank you to everyone who took the time to come and be a part of this. I appreciate that. I didn't call on everyone because I didn't want to put anybody on the spot other than those that I normally put on the spot. But please, as I mentioned, any thoughts or comments you have, ideas for, and anything that we can pass on to the rest of our membership that would be a good solution to something, please pass on. And feel free to call or email me anytime. Thanks again. Have a great rest of your day.
Take care.